Amen. I enjoyed all the singing today. Well, you all have made me wait a long time. While I was sitting there, I got a deeper meaning of the term long-suffering. And I do ask an interest in your prayers. I have enjoyed the service thus far. I'd like to call your attention to some scripture today, though, found in the 10th chapter of the Hebrew letter. If you have your Bibles and want to read along with me, and I'd certainly encourage you to do that, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to begin reading with verse 31 and read just a short scripture lesson. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And I'm going to stop my reading there with verse 35. And I want you to think with me again about what was said in the 34th verse. For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. And when I thought about this scripture and when the Lord placed this thought upon my heart, I began to, in my memory, I began to reflect back through my life. I've told the church before that I thank God in heaven for the privilege that I had when I was a child, and the way that I was raised and the things that I was taught, especially about spiritual matters. I give thanks to God more for that the older I get. But I thought about the fact that, you know, all through my life, as far back as I can remember, I've been hearing the saints of God sing songs about heaven. And we here at Fairview Memorial today, we still do that. The songs that I hear sung today, I heard them sung back in the 60s when I was a young child. I hear songs like When We All Get to Heaven, Where the Roses Never Fade, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be, Touring That City, Going Home, No Tears in Heaven. And that's just to name a few of them. I know there's a song in one of our hymnals that's just simply entitled Heaven, and it's a beautiful song. There'll be no shadows in heaven, no tears to darken the way. And, you know, there's just, I mean, people have written throughout the years beautiful, beautiful things about heaven. I have heard in my lifetime on several occasions, I've had the privilege to hear preachers preach beautiful sermons about heaven. I've heard the saints of God give beautiful, spirit-filled testimonies about heaven, about the fact that they were going to go to heaven when they knew they were going to go to heaven when their life had come to a close. I've read in God's holy word, in the scriptures, I've read beautiful things about heaven. Brother Todd was speaking about that some in the Sunday school lesson this morning, about the world to come, the things that the scriptures describe to us concerning heaven. Of course, we know that the greatest thing about heaven is that Jesus is there. I mean, he's the center of attention there. He's the focal point of all heaven. He's really what heaven's about. But, you know, the scriptures tell us beautiful descriptions about the place that God has prepared for his people. And so I've heard, you know, people give wonderful, wonderful testimonies about that and read the scriptures about heaven just as I have read before you here this morning. This verse again says, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. And folks, that's the greatest knowledge that anybody could have, to know that they have a home waiting them in heaven when this life has come to an end. But, you know, the many times that I have felt this great joy in hearing these songs and hearing these sermons and hearing these testimonies and reading these scriptures, my greatest joy when I think about heaven, my greatest joy comes in the certain knowledge that I have that I'm going there. That's the greatest thing to me about when I think about heaven, that I'm going there. And I want to use a title today, and that being, I'm going where things are far better. The Apostle Paul made that statement in his writing to the Philippians, in I believe it was in the first chapter of Philippians. But he said, I am in a strait betwixt two. I've got a dilemma, Paul was saying. He said, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So in heaven, things will be much better than they have ever been here on earth. In fact, I know that men have tried. I know that people have tried in songs, and I know that people have tried in testimonies, and I know that people have tried in sermons, but truly, life on earth compared to eternal life in heaven, there really is no comparison. I mean, it's almost like we notice from time to time in our songs that we make an attempt by using time. We make an attempt to describe what eternity is like. But, you know, when we sing the song, 10,000 years will just be started, that's not the reality of it, because there is no 10,000 years in eternity. In eternity, there is no time. It's just forever and forever. But people have tried, and I understand that, and I appreciate that people have tried to describe what eternity is like. But folks, listen, we just don't really know yet. I mean, we that are still here in time, we just don't really know yet. I promise you that when we get there, that it's going to be much greater than what we ever have imagined. We just don't know what it's like yet to dwell in eternity. We don't know what it's like yet to dwell in heaven. The greatest thoughts that we've ever had of heaven in this life, I promise you, are going to fall well short of what it's really going to be like. I believe that we know that because the scripture says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But I am thankful today that I am able to stand before you and proclaim with all assurance and with all certainty that I am going to the land where things will be far better. Now, if you're here today and you don't understand what I'm saying, you may look at me and you may listen to what I have said this morning, and you may think, well, that sounds prideful. That sounds like a proud statement. You must, if you're going to stand before us today and say that you know that you're going to heaven, you must really consider yourself to be a good person. But no, that's not the case at all. Because I'm not standing before you today and telling you that I know that I'm going to heaven based upon any goodness in myself whatsoever. I'm standing before you today and telling you that I know without doubt that I'm going to heaven based upon the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, based upon the goodness of the grace of God, based upon what God did for me, what you have heard others testify about here already this morning, based upon what God did for me in the 18th year of my life when I called upon the name of the Lord and I repented of my sins and I placed my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved me from my sins and gave me eternal life. And that is all today. I want to make this point in this message today that that is all that I am depending on to get me into heaven when this life is over. There's nothing else that I'm relying on. That moment of time, that experience that I had in my life when God saved my soul, when God spoke peace to my troubled heart, that and that experience alone is all that I'm depending upon, and it's all that I need to get me into heaven when this life is over. You know, going back to the way I was raised, and I want you to know today as I stand before you, I'm a Baptist. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool, old-time Baptist. I have never, I was raised in this. I've never known anything else. I have been content to be among the old-time Baptist people. I believe that we are the church, and I have been content in that, and I'm happy that I'm still here today. And as far as I'm concerned, that's what I want to be when I close my eyes in death and leave this world. I want to die an old-time Baptist. But I want you to know something today, that that's not what I am dependent upon to get me into heaven today. And I do not believe that it's only old-time Baptist people that go to heaven. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that those that go to heaven when this life is over are those that have experienced the new birth, those that have been saved by the grace of God, whether they become an old-time Baptist or not, those that leave the walks of this life and make it safely into heaven are those that have experienced God's grace to the saving of their soul. Amen. I'm not dependent upon religion to get me into heaven. And I'm going to say this, if you are dependent upon religion, no matter what type that it is, if you are dependent upon religion to get you into heaven, then I promise you today, and I'm going to share some scripture with you today that will prove this to you, but I promise you today that if that's what you are depending upon, then you're going to fall short and you're not going to make it. There was a man we read about in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, and his name was Nicodemus. And he was a very religious man. He was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. And he was among a group of people in his religion that I promise you that if you could take one of the Pharisees of that day and stand him before us today, you would find a person that was very morally fit. You would find a person that lived a very clean life. You would find a person that tried to do what he knew that he should do and try not to do what he knew that he shouldn't do. You would find a person that lived his life. You would look at that person and you would say, now that's a good man. That's the way they live. They live very good lives. But Jesus spoke to this man, and knowing that that was what he was, the Lord knowing that he was a Pharisee, and yet he spoke to him there in the third chapter of John, and he let him know that there was something that he was lacking. He said, you must be born again. You must have that spiritual experience with God. It doesn't matter that you're a Pharisee. That's not going to get you into heaven. In fact, if you look in the 23rd chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, Jesus encountering that same group of people and having a conversation with them and actually rebuking them, and he told them that all they were accomplishing by their religion was making the outside look good. All they were accomplishing by their religion was making themselves look good in the flesh in the eyes of men. He said, you clean up the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you are full of uncleanness and you are full of iniquity. And he compared them unto a whited sepulcher, a whited grave. He compared them unto perhaps what we may even think of as a grave marker. And the grave itself, and you can go today, you can go to the cemetery and you can look at a grave there that has been very well kept, and you know it has been mowed and flowers have been put around it, and that grave has been decorated, and it looks very beautiful to our eye when we look at it, but we know what's down inside that grave, don't we? We know there's dead men's bones down inside there, and we know that it wouldn't be attractive. It wouldn't be pretty to look at. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, that's exactly what you are. You indeed appear beautiful to men outwardly, but within you're full of all uncleanness. You know, salvation happens to us within. It's the saving of the soul. It's the heart that must be changed. It's our sinful nature that must be changed. And listen, you can work as hard as you want to clean up the outside of it. And you can change your ways as much as you want to. And you can try to stop doing this that you shouldn't be doing. And you can try to start doing this thing that you should be doing. But all of that, friends, will never change the fact that we are sinners. And because of that we are separated from God. And we cannot change our nature any more than the Ethiopian can change his skin, or the leopard can change his spots. If you look in Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23, Israel was asked that question. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard change his spots? And, you know, Jesus one time, he asked his disciples, can you by taking thought add one measure to your stature, or one cubit to your stature? Can you by taking thought, can you make your body grow? Of course not. You can't add anything even to your physical appearance by taking thought about that. And you and I today, we cannot change the fact that we are sinners, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so the answer is no. The Ethiopian cannot change his skin, and the leopard cannot change his spots. But you know who could change those things? God. God. And you can't change your nature today, but God can. God has the power to change and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus, to where all things, the old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And that's exactly what he did for me, and that's exactly what he has done for everybody that has truly been saved by his grace. They have come to God realizing their lost and sinful condition and repenting of their sins by the help of God, turning away from their sins and turning towards God and placing their trust in him. And I did that. I told you about earlier in the 18th year of my life, that's exactly what I did when I was lost and without God. I came to him. I came to him. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you the honest truth today. I came to the Lord there that night. I came to him knowing that I was lost and without God. I came to him knowing that I was headed for a devil's hell. I came to the Lord knowing that if I died in that awful condition, that hell was going to be my eternal residence forever and forever. And I called upon the name of the Lord in that condition, and I pleaded with him, and I begged him, and I sought him that he might save my soul. And in that, I experienced something from heaven. not from earth, not from somebody around me. I'm telling you, folks, listen. I was touched that night from heaven. And there's not enough devils and demons to ever make me doubt that I was touched from heaven that night. And when it was all over, I knew that I was saved. I knew that I was going to heaven. And you know, you may ask me today, well, you know, explain to me how you knew that. Well, the best thing I can tell you is I just knew. God just made it known to me what he had done. And the Bible does tell us in the 8th chapter of Romans in verse 16 that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So I'm going through this life, and I'm the happiest of all people. I mean, I'm telling you what, people that are saved ought to be the happiest of all people. Because I've got the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got the love of God shed abroad in my heart. I've got his Spirit dwelling in me. And whenever that I have trouble, if I'll just seek after God and I put him to the test, and I found this to be the case, whenever I have trouble, I can take that trouble to the Lord, and his grace is sufficient for me, and God has never failed me yet, and God has helped me through everything that I have ever come to him with, seeking his help. God has bestowed the grace and the ability upon me to be able to face those things. Folks, listen, God can help you through anything. And so I have the best friend that anybody's ever had, and he helps me in all of my trials, in all of my sorrows, in all of my troubles. God helps me. And so I'm just going through this life walking with God. I know that I don't have much longer. I know that I've already lived most of my life. I mean, how many of you today know that you've already lived most of your life? Does that bother you, Brother Strode? It don't bother me one bit. I'm telling you honestly today, that doesn't bother me one bit, because the future looks so good. I mean, it just looks so bright ahead. I went, we're talking about heaven. I went this week, you know, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, we know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, that we have a building of God. We know that if we die, we've got a home in heaven, is what he's saying. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And he went on and he said, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. I might ask those of you that are here today that have been saved, have you experienced that yet in your life? I'm going to say unto you, if you haven't, that you're going to. There are those times that come when that righteous soul, it just begins to yearn, and it just begins to have that desire to go home and to be with God. Paul wrote about it again in the Philippians. He said he had a desire to depart and to be with Christ. He said, we groan earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And folks, I'm going to tell you today that that's not only something that Paul experienced. That's not only something that's found in the scriptures, because I have had those times when I have felt that myself. And this week, bless her heart, this week, in fact, just yesterday, I stopped in to check on Sister Roark out there at the nursing home. And when I got there, I found her laying in her bed and she was crying. I mean, she was laying in her bed and she was weeping. And I asked her what was wrong, and she told me that she had got sick during lunchtime. And I talked to her a little bit more, and I thought maybe that she was weeping and crying because she had been sick. But as I talked to her, she began to tell me things that made me realize that it wasn't because she was sick that she was crying. She told me in the conversation, she said, I got so sick while I was having lunch. And she said, I just thought I was going to get to go home and be with God. And that's what was bothering her. And she said, that's where I want to go. That's where I want to be. I want to be with the Lord. I want to be back with my husband. I want to be there where I won't have troubles like this anymore. And she just had a desire to go and to be with God. You know, all I could tell her was, well, you know, it's just in God's timing. And I know that. And we know that, don't we? It's just in God's timing. But bless your heart. Man, I'm telling you, we're going to be happy in heaven. We're going to be happy when we get home. Folks, you think you've been happy down here. And we've had some good services and things like that, haven't we? Haven't we, Sister Patsy? We've had some great times together in the Lord here on earth. But I'm telling you what, folks, the best by far is yet to come. It's yet to come. I mean, you talk about a time of worship. The Apostle Peter, I just have to share this scripture with you. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Brother Strode, what happened in that spot that you sing to us about will take you all the way to heaven and all the way through eternity, forever, no end, no end. It's good to be saved. I feel so bad for anybody that's not saved. And if you're here today and you're not saved, then I pray, my prayer for you is that you will turn to the Lord. I'm telling you, folks, listen, the keeping of ordinances won't get you into heaven. Going to church will not get you into heaven. Being kind to your neighbor will not get you into heaven. You read the 7th chapter of Matthew at the very end of that chapter. You read what Jesus Christ himself said. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. What was Jesus saying? He was saying there will be people in the day of judgment that will stand before me and say, look at how religious I was when I was on this earth. And Jesus will just say, leave me. I never knew you as my child. You know what the problem is there? In all that, they're depending upon themselves and not on him. You know, they're not there saying, Jesus, it's because of you that I'm here. No, they're saying, it's because of everything that I've done. And that doesn't get anybody into heaven. And I'll tell you what, we've been different here. We've all got our little differences here on the earth. But when we get to heaven, we're all going to have the same thing in common, friends. Every one of us will be there because of God's grace. We will all be there for the same reason, because we trusted in the Lord and he was gracious to deliver us and to give us eternal life. My mother, when I was growing up, I mean, when I was 10 years old and when I got to be 15 and 16 years old, my mother all the time, she was singing about heaven. I mean, she would just, go around her house there, and she was just always right in the middle of the day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, right in the middle of the day, she would always be singing about heaven. And there I was a lost boy, and there was times that I thought, I wish she'd just be quiet. But that didn't bother her. And I came over there. I remember one time coming in the house there with some of my friends, and there was Mom. She was all happy, and she was walking around the house, and she was singing a song about going to heaven. And I just like, why can't she just be quiet? But I understand it now. But folks, I'm telling you what, when you've been saved, you just look forward to that day, don't you? You just rejoice. It's no wonder things happen among us like what happened last week. It's no wonder sometimes that we just lose control and people begin to shout and people begin to testify and people begin to praise. It's no wonder those things happen. We're heaven bound. We're on our way home. We just, I just passed by here for a short time this morning to deliver another sermon and to be in service, but I'm not staying here. I'm on my way to a better place. I'm on my way to a better service. I'm on my way to a better worship. I appreciate your attention today. I'd like for us to have a song, because if you're here today and you're lost, you need to be saved. You need to seek the Lord and be saved. And I'd like for us to stand and at least have a song and give an invitation to anybody that would like to turn to the Lord and seek him for salvation here this morning.